Renaissance Recall with Jim Miller is part of Grey Towers Productions.
Ha! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Ho, you ring-tailed sailors coming up behind! Ho! Jamboree! Ho! Jamboree! Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm! Now, me lads, be of good cheer, for Lundy's Isle, it holds quite near, so it's way down below, and stow your gear. Jenny,
and welcome to Renaissance Recall, where we interview the people who play in yesterday. My name is Jim Miller. I'm your host again for the evening. I think I've introduced myself already once. And I think the next podcast, I'm going to have one of my lovely co-hosts interview me, so you guys know where my background is. But for right now, I really wanted to get the other actors to the forefront of the podcast to get interest, to get people interested, and then you guys can find out about me later. That's not even a problem. But we're going to start off. We've got two amazing actors. One of our guests is on the production side, more of like a director's side, but we can talk to him about that later, because first, we have one of the most entertaining, energetic, and memorable characters at the Shire, because you get remembered and mentioned in more outgoing, you know, surveys than anybody
Probably that I've heard of.
Probably. The lovely, lovely...
Hello, my name is Natalie Buckley, but you all can refer to me as Lunalot or the Spoonmaker. Spoonie for short.
We all start smiling when she does that. So I'm going to slip over here for a second, and you're gonna hear me squeak for a little bit.
Oh no.
No, that's no problem. I'm gonna get a new chair just for doing podcasts. Yeah. Probably something nice and leathery. I don't know.
Fancy.
And that's Zell on the other side.
Hello.
But we'll introduce him in a minute after we talk to Natalie for a little bit. So Natalie, we're gonna start with some of our basic questions.
Yes.
I'm gonna pop it up here for a second.
Perfect.
And we're building what is your favorite color?
No yellow.
So what do you do at the Virginia Fair, Farf?
So I am one of the volunteer entertainers at the Virginia Renaissance Fair.
Mm-hmm.
My occupation is to be the spoon maker in the townsfolk. So you can see me running around in a little bit of the lesser garb, obviously more like bright colors and everything, but not as glitz and glamored as all of the nobility in the Shire.
But that's your main character is
yes.
Luna.
Lunalot the Spoonmaker.
Lunalot the Spoonmaker.
Everyone calls me Spoonie though, so.
Spoonie. So actually, there's another part of this question, which have you played a character at any other fair?
I have, actually. I was invited to come and have some fun over at the New York Renaissance Fair, mm-hmm. where I played Lady Catherine Hastings, and she is more of the nobility. She is actually one of the Queen's favorites, married to Sir Henry Hastings, and
Ooh.
yes, so I had to be a married lady. Which was very Ooh. Interesting, just because...
Probably a surprise to your parents, too.
Oh, yes. But it was also, with the nobility, going from a townsfolk for so many years, and mm-hmm. then having a character change into a noble character, I had to do a lot of research. I had to, like, to figure out exactly who Catherine Hastings was, and she is an actual character, or an actual historical figure,
mm-hmm.
One of Robert Dudley's younger sisters.
Oh.
Yes. So not only was I one of the Queen's favorites, and I was married to a Hastings who was also an Earl of some... I don't exactly remember
Earl.
Which one.
The Dudley's an Earl.
Yes. But he...
He's the Earl of Leicester, not the Earl of... Was it Windsor?
Nope.
Please don't crucify me. I'm just not off the top of my head. We will have to look it up maybe at the break.
Yes, absolutely. But anyway, so... I had a lot of attention on me, not only because I was a noble lady and I was all prettied up and with all the jewels and the glorious gown and everything, but everyone was asking me, so what do you know about the Dudleys? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, my older brother, Robert Dudley, he is actually trying to pursue the queen at the moment. And then there was also the gossip about that and lots and lots of fun. Oh, yes, yeah, so Henry Hastings is the Earl of Huntingdon. Thank you.
Huntingdon?
You're welcome.
Huntingdon, yes.
Hunt What, Hunting Ding or Huntington?
Hunting Dunn.
Hunting Dunn.
Yes.
I'm going to have to look that up myself. Because that's going to be like a moment of me going, I suddenly know this fact, and now I'm going to have to verify it.
But it was also very interesting looking her up, because she was married at the age of either 12 or 15.
Ooh.
Yeah, so she was married very young.
Well, not weird for the time, but...
No, not weird for the time. However, she was given a letter by her mother, who had passed away, saying that if, when she gets married, if she decides that it's not for her and she wants to annul the marriage, then she that she has the right from her mother. And it was very cool. I'm like, wow, her mother actually gave her permission, which is like very unheard of.
That's completely unheard of from the time. Yeah. I mean,
but they were actually married for a good long while. They never had any children or anything, but they had a very loving relationship. He was significantly older than her, but she felt secure and safe and loved by her husband.
Well, that's good. Aww. That's good. That sounds
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, let's go back to Spoonie.
Spoonie. Yes.
So number one, how long have you been doing Spoonie?
Well, I started out in 2011. Yes, so I've been in the fair for now 8 years, 7 years, 7 years.
This technically would be eight then.
This would be the seventh year.
Semantics. Continue.
Semantics, anyway.
As we both immediately go into dialect and begin discussing our day.
Yes. But when I first auditioned for the Renaissance Fair was the winter of 20, or like the spring of 2011. Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay, so you need to figure out a character. At the time, I really, really loved, because I had been a patron for years, I loved Mad Maggie. She was a crazy storyteller that carried around a stick that was tied to a rope and called it a dragon, and it was just so funny. I thought that she had a lot of energy, and she was super interactive with the patrons and everything, and I was like, I want a character like Mad Maggie. Obviously not Mad Maggie, but... Yeah. Someone as crazy and as entertaining as she is. And I remember Chris and Dan and Steve Loy, they all came up to me and said, so, have you thought of, like, an occupation yet? And I'm like, I honestly don't know. What else, like, what could there be that hasn't been done before? And they were talking about, like, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and
which
all that
which we always
stuff.
Have new ones of every year.
Always new.
At least two.
But then I think it was Dan, and he said, you need to figure out something that's more you. So do you have any, like, hobbies, or do you collect anything? And this is a true fact. I actually collect spoons from different states and countries. My grandmother started me a couple years earlier and got me a spoon from Reno. I was like, okay.
Awesome. Who knew Reno was a gateway?
Right. and at first I'm like... Grandma, like, why'd you get me a spoon?
Why'd you get me a spoon, Grandma?
but she goes, I mean, it's something that people do, so if you decide to, awesome. If not, then don't worry about it. I just thought this would be something for you, because you're very outgoing. And years later, I started collecting spoons for different states, and whenever friends would go out on vacations, they're like, do you want me to bring you back anything? I would always be like, bring me back a spoon, please. Which was very silly. So I told Dan, it's like, I collect spoons. And they all three kind of turn and look at me, and they're like, that's weird.
I got to admit, the first time I heard about it, I was like, oh, that's a really interesting character choice. And they're like, no, she collects spoon at home. And I'm going, really?
Yep.
In fact, I think Kristen just brought you... She just brought you back a spoon from somewhere.
Yeah, she did. Oh, it was very nice. I still, to this day, I keep getting people be like, oh, yeah, I got a spoon for you because I thought of you. And I keep getting, like, Snapchats and pictures from people going to stores and be like, I saw this spoon and I thought of you. And I'm like, this is my life now. but yeah, so I didn't think that Spoonie would be such a big character. I already knew the name. Ironically, before I picked out the character, I was like, I like the name Luna because of Luna Lovegood from Harry Potter. I thought that she was a very interesting character, and I just
favorite.
Love her to death. and then I was trying to figure out a last name, and then Chris had said something about there used to be a sort of a Romeo and Juliet, Capulet and Montague sort of feud in the townsfolk.
Lots and Mots.
Called the Lots and the Mots. And so he goes, well, you could always bring back that because it's kind of died down. We only have one Mott left. And I'm like, oh, well, if there's a Mott, might as well go with a Lot. So I said, Luna Lot. And then I picked out the spoon maker. And then... mind said, oh, wait, you're a spoon maker. Does that mean you spoon a lot?
Oh.
And I didn't know. Oh, I fell into my own joke.
Face first.
Yes. But no, I've been going strong as Spoonie for 7 years. I've come to the conclusion that if I were to go as anybody else, people would come to the fair and wonder where's Spoonie.
Yeah, no, we had an entire season where you weren't there.
I wasn't.
And
mm-hmm.
And that was constantly like I think that was the year I did Bruno.
Yep. Because I never met Bruno.
You never got a chance to meet Bruno, and that was like, oh, the two of them would have got along famously.
Yes.
But we can do that later, maybe. Maybe another fair. We'll go to another fair, and I'll pull Bruno out in his best of many pockets. But, okay, so you've gone over a lot of our questions already.
Yes,
because I was like, normally, what are you apologizing for? No, this is great. I like the freeform.
Oh, yes.
But so you've been doing fair about 7 years.
Yep.
And now you're... Some of the directors have actually helped you or asked you to help with teaching and stuff like that. That's big.
It was pretty big. I was asked a couple of years ago if I'd be interested in helping. Unfortunately, I was still doing college and didn't know if I had the time. And I didn't want to make it unfair for those that were doing rehearsals and everything. If I just came in during the fair season and said, mm-hmm. oh, well, I'm a director now. It's like, that's not fair.
No, that is really fair of you.
So I decided to say no previously, but this year, since I was officially going to be around for the entire rehearsal period and the fair season, I was asked to be an assistant guild manager. I think that's what they call it.
Guild leader?
Guild leader.
Sub-director.
AGM.
AGM. So
AGM.
Assistant guild manager. And I'm helping out with Trip and Bobby and Steve, and we are...
Well, I'm going to try to get all of them on here, because I'm trying to kind of balance the serious people that are funny and the funny people that can be serious. Like, I'm trying to bounce them back and forth. So, and Zell's going to be my first part of the other side, which is directors and producers. So he's like, yeah, get it out of the way.
Zell's really cool. He's kind of one of those that have like come up from the ashes, and I'm just like, oh, he is like a force to be reckoned with.
Oh,
yeah, out of nowhere,
right?
Like it's like suddenly it's like, oh yeah, Zell's in charge. What? But it's,
surprise.
But they like you. They really like you.
Somebody has to.
We all love you. That's the
I know.
That's the scary part. So how did you? I mean, what kind of turned around and just said, I'm going to try out for the Ren Faire? I mean, was it like a poster? Was it a...
I had been coming as a patron for years.
A patron.
I always dressed up like Esmeralda from Disney.
Nice.
I can get that. Right. I can get behind that, yeah.
I'm a huge Disney fan to the point where I actually worked at Disney World for a year.
Mm-hmm.
This was the...
Year before last.
Summer of 2016 into the spring of 2017. I was a character attendant, but I'd always loved Disney movies, and I always dressed up like princesses, and when I knew that the Renaissance Fair was coming around, I'm like, oh, well, obviously I have to dress up like a gypsy, or I have to dress up like a pirate. Like, there's no alternatives. So I can't just...
There's no alternatives.
I can't just come dressed as, like, you know, a normal person to go to Walmart. Like, even though at night that can get really scary. I'm sorry, Zell.
That's all right.
No. I have had to show up at Walmart in full regalia.
Yep.
You know, having to take my sword off before I go in, going, maybe this wasn't the best idea. You know, walking around with the feather and the poofy hat, and people are like, so what do you do? I'm a character actor for a fair?
Yep.
No, really. What do you... This is what I wear when I go to my in-laws. What? I don't even have in-laws.
Yeah, but I had been coming to the fair for years. I even went to the old fair when I was really little.
I'd never been.
Oh, really? I don't remember a lot about it. All I remember is coming back to the parking lot and talking to my mother about how beautiful this little pointy princess hat was and how much fun I had. Like, that's the only memory that I really have of the old Virginia fair in the parking lot.
I can totally see you in a little pointy princess hat.
Definitely.
But yeah.
So, I'm going to skip around a couple of the things. So, What else have you done? Let's go with some. What are some of your other hobbies?
Oh,
You know, related to fair, not related to fair.
Well, obviously, I collect spoons. I've always been one with theater, so I've always done like the acting and the singing and the dancing. But I've always done it in a at school setting. So mm-hmm. when I was in high school, when I was in middle school, I did it at my church. High school was obviously at my high school. College, over at my college. I never had the opportunity to go outside into my community as much until I found the Virginia Renaissance Fair. Just because of money and time and transportation issues, like, it was never really an option for me to explore outside of what I already had until I found rides to the Virginia Renaissance Fair and stuff like that. But and then outside of that, I also play the ukulele, and
which I've seen, and yes. It's amazing.
Thank you. I also I love music in any aspect, so I'm trying to teach myself guitar again, and just any opportunity that I can go out to a karaoke bar and sing, I just whatever.
I totally understand that.
Oh yes.
Everybody's gonna pull out their, you know, can't stop believing. Okay, so you've been acting for a long time. I mean, middle school, and you know, I also heard you got flight certified, and dance cert. You know, going through dance classes and a whole bunch of other stuff.
I when I was in middle school, I did a thing with my church called Higher Power. This was back at Lake of the Woods Church. Like third grader me. So this was even like back in elementary school.
Lots of dancing.
Sixth grade. It would have been sixth grade. I'm trying to like think again. But yeah, when I was younger, I was really into the dancing and stuff. But the head of the dance troupe also did like the acting, and we did puppet shows and we did singing things and stuff like that.
Wow.
And she saw me very energetic and very outgoing and was like, "Hey, we have a little play that we want to put, or a little act that we want to put together. It has to do with an angel and a demon talking about this one girl's decisions." And immediately I said, "I'm the demon."
I believe it. I absolutely believe it.
So me and this other girl, Sydney Hawkins, we were the angel demon duo.
Uh-huh.
For like 3 years, we were the same pairing for angel and demon for different scenes with different people, but we were always the angel / demon.
Wow, you had your own mini sitcom at like six.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was fun. And then I just always, I don't know. What was the question again?
We were asking about hobbies, and we were asking about acting.
Yeah, and then, I don't know. I've always been really outgoing and always wanting to do theater, like, clubs, or if there was ever an assignment that, like, oh, put together a little scene or put together a play, and I'm like, all right, guys, this is what we're going to do.
She suddenly becomes the little spoony general.
Oh, yes. In college, I actually got to perform in a few shows where I was a prime character, which was really cool. I don't know if you've ever heard of a show called Into the Woods.
No way.
I was one of the stepsisters.
Nice.
I was Florinda, and I got my toe cut off.
Ooh.
Well, you know, character acting. I mean, right. Gotta do it. Get out the snips.
And then one of my favorite shows that I did, we did a show called Silent Sky, and it was a very interesting show. It's not a musical,
mm-hmm.
but it's a show based on how women basically drove the whole exploration of the stars back in Harvard University, back in the late 1800s.
Yeah, because for every major male NASA astronaut, there was five or six guys and 15 or 20 women backing up that one dude, and you're going, wow, that's,
which is funny because back then it was early 1900s. I apologize, I'm sorry,
we're jumping.
Yeah, right. But back in the day, these women were called computers.
Mm-hmm.
they were asked to classify and to chart all of the stars. They had like thousands of little plates that they had to look, and they all had, if you ever have pollen on your windshield, that's literally what it looked like.
Wow.
Like, there's no real classification that you can pull up if you just look at a window pane, but these women were able to do it. They were able to get the same photos and be able to chart which star was which, and I'm just like, wow, these women are amazing.
That's crazy.
Shows how we actually figured out how vast the universe really is and stuff. And I got to play a historical figure named Annie Jump Cannon, who created the classifications of stars.
It's been a little while. We'll double check it.
Yeah, it's fine. But, oh gosh, I don't know. It's just something about theater. I want to go back. It's been almost 2 years since I've been in any sort of production outside of fair.
You're feeling the itch.
So, gosh, I went to a show last year called A Gentleman's Guide of Love and Murder.
Which I didn't do it.
If you've never
she
seen
said
it.
Gentleman.
Yeah, it's a gentleman's guide. Oh. If you've never heard of it or seen it, at least listen to the soundtrack. It is hilarious. It's a great show. Mm. But I got to previously meet one of the extras that were in there, and he gave me a backstage tour.
Wow.
Ooh. And so I got to be on the set. And this was the touring production of A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder. And they actually... Hello!
Hey.
Oh my goodness!
Welcome!
My co-host has arrived.
Hola!
But one of the cool things that the touring production had was the legit doors used in the actual production from Broadway. So it was really cool. Just touching those doors, like, it may not have significance to these people listening right now, but, like, the doors are a prime part of a specific number in the show, and so holding on to these doors and just being on that stage, I'm like, why am I not here?
It connects you to everybody that's been there before, and you're just like, ah. No,
yeah.
I mean, I get, when I went up to Banff, and they brought out some of the weapons from some of the fighters, like, you know, it's called the Patty Crane Conference, but we all call it Banff because that's where it is. But, you know, they brought out weapons that Patty Crane used and handled and other amazing fighters, and you get to meet all the directors up there, and we're just like, wow. And they bring out some of the weapons from, like, when they were training the Jedi and all the...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So we got to interact with stuff that were like, you know, meeting some of the fight directors who did, like, Highlander, the series,
my gosh,
and the movies and things like that. And you're just kind of like, I've been watching your fights for, like, 20 years. I want to get it.
Well, the thing is, like, and the great thing about theater is that there's so many different aspects of theater, and I love almost every single one of them. Like, I obviously enjoy being on stage, and I love musicals, and I love straight plays. Being in the Renaissance Fair has even strengthened my love for Shakespeare and all that classical acting. But I also love voice acting and stage fighting and like even the backstage creative portions, set building and painting and stuff. I'm just like, I want to do everything, but it's so hard figuring out where to start. And so that is why I am doing what I'm doing, trying to figure out where I am currently on a cruise ship.
Hey, I mean, it's still creating acting and entertainment and everything else like that, and it's all a part of that whole.
You're just trapped on a boat.
I'm just trapped on a boat. So
she's forced to do it. we're going to ask, do you have any really good stories, and what was your best experience at VARF? I mean, these are stories that can be funny. These can be, you know, from the tents. But I do have to remind everybody about Rule 2. But, you know, you could talk about stuff that other people that you've interacted with, you know, just what is a good story and what is the best, what do you feel is the best experience you've had so far?
Ooh, that's so hard. Just because, I don't know what it is, but just being at the fair, and at least having the approach that I have, which is making sure that the spotlight's not on you, it's on other people. So basically my goal throughout the fair day is to make sure that everyone that I come in contact with has the light on them. So I'm trying to push the light, but not necessarily push the light onto them, but to show them that they are amazing, that they are fantastic, and that they are special, you know. So
that's one of Cornelia's like base most important rules for any of the actors is anybody that's even the slightest bit different, no matter what, that's the person you focus on, and that's the person that you make want to be here.
And me being me having dealt with like bullies and stuff back in school and trying to figure out my life and being classified as a I am white, I am straight, I am probably the most privileged individual in other people's eyes, quote unquote. But I have a story that, you know, not everyone else knows. And I have a story that, you know, that my closest friends don't know, that people can classify me in such a way that they don't know my life, and I want to make sure that I respond the same, that I don't know their life, I don't know what is going on in their minds, that I want to make sure that I give them a good day.
No, I mean, and that's a huge step, I mean, especially for an actor, and you have to do that individually with every person you meet, which
every
is...
Every single person.
You know, that's that slight difference between, you know, acting for film or voice acting, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to connect with every person,
yeah,
you know, at a moment. We can do, what is a good story, or what is your favorite show?
Wait, you're white?
Fair?
I thought you were a metallic!
Oh my goodness!
She's lighter tan. Tan or light? Wait, no.
Oh my gosh.
Tan or... Well, okay. Well, we all end up being tan after the sun for a while.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all start looking
like... I've actually gotten more tan at the fair site than I have on the ship.
Well, there's so many levels on this ship. I can protect myself with the entire Lido deck.
Oh, my goodness. But sorry about that whole little spiel. I didn't mean to get on a soapbox.
No, this is not... It's not a soapbox. This is... this is part of why I want to do the podcast. I want people to be able to connect... Because you can't connect with a person when you're playing your characters.
Right.
And you have to be your character and connect with them as your character. This is the opportunity to kind of step back and go, this is the real me and this is why I do it.
Yes.
And that's where I want to connect with people who are listening going, oh, that's why she does that. That sounds like what I do. Maybe one day I'll go and help her do this thing one day. It's making that connection and moving it to another level. That's part of what this is about.
Absolutely.
And there's so many amazing actors and I mean even vendors and entertainers that come out and meet us at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
And all you do is you get to see that stage persona.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, okay, well, and then they don't understand that we're a volunteer directorship, we're a volunteer actor group, we're a volunteer, you know, just so much. And they're like, wait, you don't get paid for this? And it's like, no, we don't get paid, but we're here for another reason.
It's not for the pay. It's for... We're not afraid to act fools of ourselves to
No, we aren't.
to make someone...
Specifically, pay. Yeah.
But that's the whole reason why I love this fair. Just because... Not only with you, Jim, but also with or you, Zell. I feel like it's the same with like the majority of our cast and the majority of our vendors. We all are on the same boat, quote unquote, in the manner of...
You're just in all kinds of boats.
Many boats.
You're an entire armada on yourself.
Oh, yes. But anyway,
Admiral
happy
Spoonie.
Story.
Admiral Spoonie.
Admiral Spoonie needs to happen.
We're all going to die.
So what is your favorite show at the fair? Like the show you turn around and go, I need to take a couple minutes and go see this, and you know.
Oh, well, I always love just like going to see everyone, to be honest.
Yeah, for the time we get the chance to see stuff, yeah.
Because
we're normally very, very busy.
There's so much that we have to do, but I have to say that my absolute favorite show to be a part of and to see is the Court of Common Pleas. I just think it's so funny because as soon as people hear the introduction, please bring up your cases, no matter what they may be, and get recompense. All of a sudden, the wheels start turning in everyone's head.
Everybody's like, I could throw somebody underneath the carriage.
Yes. And it's just so funny because the guests actually get into it. And it's I don't know, it's just really fun to see the dynamic between not only patron, but patron and cast and cast and cast and being able to bring up people that you've never brought up before, and they're like, wait, we didn't plan this. What happened? Oh, I'm supposed to do this. Okay.
Or they decide to do it, and then they're like, once they get up there, they're like, I need a lawyer. And then, like, every cast member is like, I'll be your lawyer. Yes.
That's right.
From, like, the highest education all the way down to our... Wow. I mean, you've become a good part, a huge part of the cast. I mean, there's been like, I'd almost say like you've gone into a little bit of legend because people are like, that's Spoonie, and you're like, yes, and you see her running up and down the hill at full speed with a giant spoon mm-hmm. after a small child or running from the small child.
The spoon is a staple.
The spoon is a staple.
And I've gotten constant questions like, oh, so what if you leave? Like, who's going to be the spoon? And I'm like, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
The spoon is the spoon. You cannot
replace
it.
Maybe we'll get a fork.
Oh.
Kristen just handed her another spoon.
It's a spoon key!
Spoonky!
It's a spoon key, and it says, a spoon of dreams. Oh, this makes me so happy. Oh, I'm about to cry. Thank you so much.
So I've actually been carrying that around for almost a year.
Well in the worth.
Back around Christmas time, I asked you for your address.
Yeah.
Because my intention was to mail it to you.
Oh, your intention.
The intention.
Right? And you notice she just handed it to you.
Oh, I love it. Yes. I love it.
It's the topic.
Yes, absolutely. You see, this is what I'm talking about. Like, I am this character, and I do this random thing. My biggest thing to, like, if anybody ever wants to join a fair, if anybody wants to, like, do something where they have to create something of their own, make it personal. And make it something so unique that people have to, like, think about you if they see something. No. Like, it's so... Because, I don't know. Whenever I see, like, a sword or anything, I'm like, ah, Jim. whenever I see a pumpkin, I'm like, Zell.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, well, who's carrying a weapon? Who's carrying the claymore over his shoulder for no apparent reason? Who's swinging it one-handed? Jim. Who's got the spear in his hand? Is it pointing it at the militia, making them move faster? So
that would be me.
I might have. Remind me. I'll have to make sure I bring the other spears for you this year.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, got on the web thing.
Oh.
I'm supplying weapons.
Oh,
to
no.
To people at the fair.
He's my dealer.
Hey, can I get some?
We're going to have to talk to our fight director about.
I would love to see her with a weaponized spoon.
Please.
Like weaponized spoon knives, double bandolier.
That would be amazing.
You just have to file down the handle.
Yeah. Totally
just
fine.
Having this whole, like, you know, Mystery Men vibe as she's just throwing cutlery. She would have to be the Spoon Raja instead of the blue.
Doesn't he, like, throw a spoon at a point?
He accidentally goes,
oh, blast.
That's a big key.
Oh, my gosh. But, no, that was awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to give Natalie a second so she can enjoy her spoon sport, spakeen.
It's spoonkey.
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 Her spoonkey. And we're going to move over to...
Who, me?
Oh, who are you?
I'm Zell Hensel. my character is Edwain Spearhead, and I'm the captain of Her Majesty's Militia in Staffordshire.
You should see his eyes just turn around. Yes, they get huge. You can see all the whites when he's like, the captain of the militia.
That's right. That's only because I was awake when the other captain left.
I was thinking I was picking two, like, one funny serious, one serious funny, and I think I got two double funnies.
Was
she
the serious one, or am I?
I think she might have been the serious one.
Why am I serious? I mean, I don't know.
I don't either.
Oh, gosh.
You'd have to
if you want,
me
I'll be the
Pharisee
straight man. I will.
How absolutely atrocious I can be.
No. So Zell Hansel.
Hensel.
Hensel.
Yes.
And so you play Captain...
Captain Edwain Spearhead.
Edwain Spearhead.
Edwain.
Sorry, my lips aren't... I rented them from U-Haul. From Natalie's family.
Uh-huh.
Is that the only character you've done at
yes.
Fair?
Yes. Yes.
yes. Any other characters you're suddenly remembering?
No. Just Spearhead? Just Spearhead.
So, have you gone to any other fair and played a character there? Or just...
I have not. I haven't even been to our fair.
It's so true!
You just got kind of picked up and...
Oh, no, I was tricked.
Okay.
He really was, though.
So let's go through this. So, how long have you been doing fair? Before we get to the trick story...
I was either the same year as Natalie or the year after, so I think
I came in about the same, a little bit before you.
Jim and I came in at the same time
yeah.
in 2011. I believe that you came the year after, just because I remember coming over to Kendra and Aaron's house with Jared every once in a while, and we would play against George, Call of Duty, zombies, and you would come over every once in a while. And I'm like, oh, who's this person? And then you started coming to fair, and I'm like, obviously it's Zell.
Yeah,
because I was first attending bar. The first couple years I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So and then, because I started seeing you guys, and I'm like, wow, what the? Who are these people? They sound like fun. So how long have you been doing fair? About
6 years.
6 years, maybe 7 years.
Yeah.
And. So I'm gonna go with. So, what is the occupation of your character?
I'm the captain of Her Majesty's Militia in Staffordshire.
And so, according to your character, what does that mean?
It means I get to tell other people what to do.
Because I remember the first couple of years, you were kind of like the...
Looking for a place to nap.
Yeah, you were the militia napper. You were the militia...
I'm still looking for a place to
nap. But now it's more official.
Yeah. You can't get in the captain's way when he's taking a nap.
So this is going straight to the question. How did you get into working at the Ren Fair? This is gonna be a great story.
Okay, so the story goes something like this. One day, myself and some other fair people, the Weeders, were on our way to Maryland to go visit some other friends. Mm-hmm. And they just happened to remember that it was audition day. They wanted to go see some of the people that were gonna be at the fair. I didn't even know what a Renaissance fair was. So I was like, man, we're going to go talk to a bunch of people I don't know. Whatever. Okay, let's just make it quick. We roll into the library, and they go about talking to people, and I'm standing there like a dork with a thumb in my nose. You know, I don't know anybody here. I'm just kind of waiting until we can leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then my buddy Aaron walks up to me, and he says, so we're not going to leave until after you audition.
You were victim-tiered, voluntold?
Yes. So I filled out the paperwork, chose a monologue, and 6 years later, I am one of the directors.
Oh my gosh!
Yep.
I don't think I've ever heard that story in its entirety. That is...
Mm-hmm.
That is so...
Believable.
If you've ever worked at a Ren Fair, that is so believable. It's like, what happened? You were there. Huh? Who? When? Where?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
So I was hornswoggled into it. They tricked me, and I decided that was good enough. I found something that was fun, so I'll just keep at it.
Yeah, no, I mean...
It's a great time. I'm surprised.
No, I've never seen... I've never had a bad day talking and joking around with you as a character or anything else. And Zell actually did get to meet Bruno.
Really?
And was trying to keep a straight face the entire time, which was hysterical. Because Zell trying to keep a straight face is like, you can see his muscle going... The mustache starts twitching and... Oh, okay, so...
I don't know how we're going to get a chicken in a pair of leather pants.
What? I was trying to keep... Because Bruno had taglines, and he's based very loosely off of...
Pinky.
Pinky.
Yes.
From Pinky and the Brain.
Pinky and the Brain,
so
obviously.
He was an amnesiac, and so I would ask him questions, and he would answer kind of like in the same style. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite line was, mistress, but... if the queen pulls a sword in the stone, doesn't that make her a king? And I would do questions like that. Mm-hmm. And it just, I would change them every time. And I always got like at least two people in the cast going, like turning their head and looking at me like, what? Like, and they would start trying to crack up. And the whole funny walk and everything. Let's get back to Zell. Because
yes,
Zell,
I'm over here. Hi.
Sorry, who are you?
Who are you again?
I'm Bob.
I'm Bob. Oh, Planet Bob. So, do you have any best experiences or like really good stories that just like it's the if somebody asks you about fair, that's that one thing that you just pop up?
I don't know. My first year, there was a chick that I covered in glitter.
I think this needs a little bit more elaboration so we can keep that PG-14 and a half.
You remember Bella?
Yes, I do remember Bella.
Yeah, she had that nose piercing that she wasn't supposed to have. And she was walking around telling everybody a fairy did it. So I got a handful of glitter and I told her I caught the fairy and I smashed it. And it just... everywhere.
What?
Yeah, I smashed a fairy my first year at fair.
Crushing fairies as we go.
No.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
Was that your good story or your best experience?
I mean, yeah. That was a pretty good story. PG-13, right?
14 and a half.
14 and yeah, no, that was my good story.
That was my good story. Oh God. Oh, so have you, here's a really good question. Have you done any other acting besides this?
Actually, when I was a young whippersnapper in the early to mid-90s, I lived in Ohio. That's where I was born and mostly raised. Mm-hmm. But when I was in middle school, I took an acting class at an acting school called John Casablancas.
Wow.
It's the same acting school that, Katie Holmes went to. Not at the same time, mind you, but the same place.
Dude.
So, yeah, I do have a little bit of acting under my belt.
Just he went to an acting school. That's far and above what most of our staff have trained themselves up, you know, personally and everything, but, you know. So, was it, you know, like, kind of awe-inspiring? Was it just kind of interesting?
I actually quit because I got bored.
Oh, no.
Wow.
So, yeah, we were doing, I can't even remember the name of the play. It was something about Brooklyn.
Something about Brooklyn.
Yeah.
We can look it up later.
Like a big Brooklyn family something in the, like, early 30s or during the Depression or something.
Brighton Beach Memoirs?
That's it! The Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Wow.
That's exactly what it was.
We're so good
at this.
We're going to have Natalie be our phone a friend option in the future podcast. It's like we can't find this obscure, like, beep. Natalie.
I just thought of an awesome game you could play on this podcast.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
What's the idea?
So we're going to take, like, popular plays and
and let me describe them?
Yes! We're gonna take Zell's way of describing them and put it out there. So.
And see if someone can figure out what it is.
Figure out what they are.
I think that should be a contest, like a couple weeks running up to next year. It's like, oh, discover Zell's, Zell's Theater Riddles.
Well, yeah.
Well, it's like, have you ever looked at Netflix descriptions?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what chemical influence they're under when they're writing those.
No, Zell did it.
Zell did it.
That's my side job.
but my biggest question is, how old were you at the theater school?
Whatever, 7th, 8th grade.
And you were doing Brighton Beach Memoirs?
Yeah, I got to play the little brother. I can only remember one line, and it's something about what? You can say boobs, but I can't say shit.
And he just broke rule number two.
We're probably going to mark this one explicit. It's okay.
My bad, I'm sorry.
Well, no, it's a theater line, so I'm not, you know, that's an actual theater line that some poor child is going to see.
Well, Brighton Beach Memoirs is not meant for children.
No, it is not.
No, it is not. But no. So many people take their kids to certain...
Watching your cousin in the shower and stuff is a little... That's part of the plot line. Yeah.
There goes that 14 and a half rating.
It got really, really weird when a senior class went to go see Cabaret at a theater school, like a theater thing.
Cabaret?
Cabaret, which is, okay, the school that did it in a very classy way. It's a very, it's got a lot of touchy subjects and everything, yeah. And not the best for high schoolers to watch, but if they've done it in such a classy way, and their teachers were told, hey, there's going to be a production of Cabaret playing, be ready, no one should have walked out of that theater. But how many schools walked out of that theater? A couple.
Oh, wow.
I loved it, though. I thought it was great. Anyway. Sorry.
Well, it also depends. I mean, that's you mean, at what, 6th or 7th grade? That's wow, that's a very...
Zell, Brighton Beach Memoirs!
Right. Zell, you are a cacophony of just, you know, awesome stories.
I can do a little bit of everything.
I don't doubt it at this point. So, Zell, what are your hobbies? Like
my hobbies? Video games, comic books, movies.
Oh.
I'm a super nerd.
Super nerd?
Yeah.
Nerdism it runs in the family.
Nerdism runs in our family now. but
it's hard to be a Rennie and not a nerd.
Or a geek. Yeah.
Or, you know, the general encompassing.
Well, I think it's geekdom is about fandom and nerddom is more science-based. I think that's how I've gotten it so far.
So geek has to do with a lot of fandoms, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But nerd, I mean, has to do with, like, math and science and then also just, like, all-around knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess I'm a gnerk.
Gnerk.
Yeah. I'm a geek, I'm a nerd, I'm a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Hey, that works.
I have a wealth of useless knowledge.
I am the minor god of useless information.
Better to be a nerk than a gerd?
Nerk than a gerd?
I don't
gerd than a nerk.
Nerk on my gerd?
God. Nerk on my gerd. Gerd on my nerk. I'm going to have to, like... Well, I think I might have to bleep out the Well, I'll figure that out later. I'll be listening to it probably tomorrow or Friday trying to figure it out.
Please.
That's when Zell started talking.
Russa.
Okay, Mr. Gargamel's cat, which I don't remember his name.
That was Asriel.
That was Yosemite Asriel. Sam, but I'll fail and try again.
Razzle,
Frazzle, So, Zell, what is your favorite show at the fair? That you've gotten a well.
Circus Stella.
Yes.
She gets up on the thing. He's over there with the dogs. It's just all around great.
It just it can stop you in your tracks. She'll
especially
be...
if you're trying to get across there. And they've got it blocked off because she's up in the thing. And nope, I'll just stand here and watch until she's done.
Yeah, and we've already discussed on the first podcast that she just has that smile that can light up, you know, through a forest. It's like in the middle of the darkness.
Janice is amazing.
She is. Her and her husband are just so patient and so amazing. And I mean, sometimes I feel like they don't give him enough because she's just so awesome, but all the work he puts in, he's just as awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many other people have their dogs trained to do magic?
I just... That's a good point.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, oh, all the work that the two of them put into it. I hope, like, hopefully before the end of the run, maybe I can get enough together to try to get an outdoor equipment and go, like, maybe stop by their stop by them at the fair and, like, interview them, because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Once I get, this is our second pre-release, and then hopefully once we get full okays, we're going to do a full release, hopefully somewhere in the middle of the fair. But doing more and more interviews so that we can show them what we're trying to do and kind of move forward with that. So do you have any, like, let's go back, because you used to be the napping person. Mm-hmm. What's your, because you work in the militia.
Yes.
Specifically. And you're our first militia person. Because we have town people. And
what?
We
I've been in the militia.
You have been in the militia.
I have.
Inadvertently and advertently.
I was dragged.
I had you in the
pillory. By my spoon.
you've been made part of the parade quite a few times.
Quite a few.
She enjoys it though. Don't let her lie to you.
No, yeah, I know. When she's hanging out with all the little girls and they're all holding up their sticks and
mm-hmm. And then the queen comes over and is like, "Oh, we have a spoon in our militia." Well then.
The most advanced destructive spoon in the entire technology.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying I'm allowed. I'm trying to cut out the This is the, like I said, second podcast. We're
Do
working
better.
On it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Do better. You got this. Better.
You've got this. So, what did you start out with in the militia? Because, I mean, you know, they've got the weapons, they've got the Pels post, they've got...
I like to consider myself a floater. I like to hang out at the pillory and, you know, get people in trouble. And the Pels post, I like to swing the sword at it and teach the little girls, the scary little girls, how to do it too. Girl Scouts with a sword are scary.
Because you're almost waiting for them to go full, like, you know, 300 on you.
Okay. Oh, yeah. No, you tell them you got to start screaming at that thing to scare it. It's done. It's over. Take two steps back and let them go.
Oh, God. Oh, and you are also the voice of St. George and the Dragon now.
Yes, I do. I narrate both of our shows, St. George and the Dragon and The Storming of the Walls.
That's awesome. Maybe one day. Do you remember the full? The full script.
I mean, yeah, I change it a little bit because you know I like to put my own little spins on them. Depending on if we got a big dragon or a little dragon, you know.
We'll have to drag you in one day, and we'll have you record it.
All right, and then I can do that.
It's like, yeah, I can do that. Okay, so we're actually almost at 55 minutes, if you guys didn't know.
Is that good?
Wow.
Yeah, that's great. No, that's great. That's great. Okay. Maybe it's all your fault.
It's all
no, actually,
fault.
You guys are about the same.
Oh.
So what I'm going to do is, in a couple of seconds, I'm going to stop it, then I'm going to put on a commercial.
Woohoo.
And then we're going to come back, and then we'll have both of you talking at the same time.
Ooh.
And
We've already been doing that a little bit.
This is more of a, you know, now we get to talk as more of a group, because we were focusing on each person individually, and that way we can also pick on you with, you know, things that you've seen Zell do, and Zell's seen you do stuff.
No, she hasn't seen me do nothing.
Are you kidding?
So that's why we're going to take a pause, and so this is Jim Miller with Renaissance Recall, and we're going to take a moment and maybe get the microphone and everything resorted, take a quick break, and we will be back in a few minutes. So thank you very much. And this is Jim Miller with Renaissance Recall. This was originally supposed to be a pause in the episode so we could put in some advertisement, but what we're going to end up having to do is we're going to have to split the podcast because it was so long. Which is perfectly fine, and we're thrilled to have everybody, and thank you for listening so much. So I want you to tune in again for the next installment, and come back to Renaissance Recall.
Jamboree, ho, jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Now, me lads, be of good cheer, for Lundy's Isle, it holds quite near, so it's way down below, and stow your gear. Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Ha! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree!
sight. And the port bow, sitting Lundy's light, will be stroking up some fires tonight.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Ha!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind. Ho! Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Pilot cutters coming up ahead. There'll be no more horse meat or hardtack bread tonight. We'll sleep in your feather bed.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Ha!
Jamboree,
ho!
Jamboree,
ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind.
Ho! Jamboree,
ho!
Jamboree,
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. We'll make port by the end of day. We can see the girls standing on the quay. And as we leave, we'll be getting our pay. So,
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Ho!
Jamboree!
Ho!
Jamboree!
Ho! Your ringtail sailors coming up behind.
Ho! Jamboree!
Ho!
Jamboree!
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm. Several weeks on shore, but a sailor lad, he must roam forevermore. So it's fare thee well to me, Liverpool whore.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Come on!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree,
ho!
Your ringtail sailors coming up behind.
Ho!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
Look at me now!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree,
ho!
Your ringtail sailors coming out behind.
Ho!
Jamboree,
ho!
Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece warm.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Jamboree, ho! Jamboree,
ho!
Your ringtail sailors coming out behind.
Ho!
Jamboree,
ho!
Jamboree, Jenny, keep your tailpiece.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece.
Jenny, keep your tailpiece.